If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to eventually read in Ephesians chapter 4. But before we do, I want to hit some high points in the book of Ephesians just to kind of help us to see the thought, maybe in the intent of the writer. Of course, Paul is writing to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's not writing this to the lost. We need to understand. There's an emphasis on faithful. So you go back to chapter 1 and you see he's writing to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And that emphasis on faithful, so not everyone can grasp what he's teaching. A lost person is not going to be able to fully comprehend what the lesson that he's trying to get over, and even we're going to try to get over tonight. But he goes and he reminds the saint, the faithful, of their salvation. And after that we have believed, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's verse 13 of chapter 1. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then he turns and he begins to focus on the body of Christ. You know, to I mentioned it's an honor and privilege to be here at Clear Branch, but not just to be in the building, but to be part of the body, to be part of our brothers and sisters in Christ, to work together. So he mentions the church, and he said, "You hath he quickened." And he says, "There was a time when you were dead in sins and trespasses, but now you have been quickened," or "now you have been made alive through Christ. When you walk as a sinner, and now you are no longer dead in sins and trespasses." That's chapter 2, about verse 1 through about verse 6. He says, you're no longer that old man. You're no longer dead in your sins and trespasses. You're a new man. And so you have been created in Christ Jesus to good works. So in chapter 3 and verse 21, he said, Christ receives glory through the church. So it's very important if you are saved to be part of the church, to be baptized, be part of the body of Christ, and to work within the church. That doesn't mean that all the work that the church does is when we gather together, but to be part of the body and to go out from this place to represent your Lord through the body here at Clear Branch. So he says we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's chapter 4, verse 3. Don't you think about that. That just to kind of go back and summarize. Jesus saved you the moment that you believed, and he sealed you until the day of redemption, and working in unity with the Spirit through the church, that's how we're going to bring him glory. That we used to be dead in sins, now we're alive in him, and we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, keep that intact. Everything that we do is to edify the Lord, edify the body. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says here that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, Forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Boy, I tell you, there's a lot in what I just read. A lot in what I just tried to summarize. And I want to encourage you, go back in to read the book of Ephesians, because boy, some good instruction for the church. But here he says, you be angry and sin not. Keeping in mind now that we're to be keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So you can be angry, but sin not. How do I do that? Well, he tells us. Well, that, and he said, well, you put away bitterness. You put away wrath. You put away sinful anger. Of course, it says anger here, but we know he's talking about sinful anger, because he said, be angry, but sin not. So put away sinful anger. Put away clamor and all malice. Put those things away. So, Brother Allen, we can be angry. We see where Jesus was angry. We can be angry, but we cannot be angry and continue to do these things. He said, be angry, but you let go of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and all malice. Let those things go. So we might look at that and say, ha, that's impossible. How can you be angry if you let those things go? You may be somebody here tonight and you say, I tell you what, Brother Brad, I've been saving up all my malice for the next big argument I get into. I'm gonna let her have it, or I'm going to let him have it, or I'm going to let somebody have it. And I've just been letting it simmer, and I'm waiting. I've got my ammunition ready, and I'm going to unload with both barrels when the time comes. Okay? You may say, Brother Brad, I tell you what, I'm just kind of bitter. That's my character. That's who I am. I can tell you that nobody need a message like this more than I do. Whenever you look at me, I can be very angry sometimes. And, you know, no one is going to get over. We might think that no one's going to get over on me without me striking back. I'm just not that kind of person. Well, you are, if Christ has saved you. You are that type of person. And I want to ask this question, because it's very, very important that we get this. What's more important to you, God's glory or hollow victories? What's more important? That's really what it comes down to. What's more important to you, God's glory or hollow victory? You know, you think about malice. You think about clamor. What in the world is clamor? You look up clamor. And it is a loud and confusing noise, especially that of people shouting vehemently. A shout match. That's clamor. He said, let go of that. You can be angry, but you let go of the clamor. You don't need to be shouting and angry and vehement with one another. Don't be that way. And he says, let go of the sinful anger, the wrath, bitterness. All these things, when you look at them, all these things bring hollow victories, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against principalities and powers. So whenever I get angry, I can get angry at the sin behind the man. I can get angry at the sin behind the woman. And yet, you know, I can get angry with the sin behind the government and all of this. And yet, flesh and blood is not the enemy. So to strike against the enemy is to be sinful. You know, you think about the wife and how the Bible says in Proverbs 9 and verse 13, he says, a foolish woman is clamorous. Foolish woman's clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. I didn't say that. God did. A foolish woman's clamorous. A foolish woman to argue and raise your voice and holler and scream and all these things. And she's simple and knoweth nothing. I think about the husband. You know, 1 Samuel and 15, I'm sorry, 25, I believe it is. And starting around verse 3, it talks about Abigail and how that she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But old Nabal, her husband, said he was churlish. He was a churlish man and evil in his doings. Now, these words we might not use. We might not talk, you know, say clamorous, or we might say churlish. But what is churlish? You know, churlish is rude in a mean-spirited way. It is stubborn, hateful. How many of us are churlish? Just rude, mean-spirited. Can I ask you this? What business does a representative of the church have with these types of attitudes? To be saved and to be part of the church and trying to edify the body of Christ, this is an attitude that I've got to recognize. If that's what if you're suffering with that type of attitude, if that's who you are, then you've got to recognize that, because he said, verse 23 again, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our mind's got to change. As a child of God, we've got to see things differently. We've got to look at things differently, because people are looking at us differently. And the glory of God is more important than my little hollow victory. What is a hollow victory? Well, it's winning that battle against whoever it is you're mad at. But really, it's hollow to start with, because you shouldn't have had it to start with. God's glory is at stake. Those hollow victories leave us defeated. Are we going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? Are we going to put limits upon our anger? Are we going to seek conflict resolution early? He said, before the sun goes down, you've got to get rid of that. You can be angry. Sin not. Make sure it's not all these things, bitterness and wrath and malice and clamor. But even with the anger, you need to make sure that it's resolved before the sun goes down. Before too long. Don't let too much time pass. Don't let it build up. Don't let it carry on until the next day. Don't hold on to it until the next argument. Don't save it up as ammunition for the next fight. Whatever we do, we're just winning hollow victories. Ask you about your home in just a minute. I know everybody's different. Every home's different. And some people, their attitudes are different than others and all of that. But how often do you win that hollow victory maybe in your home? Has clamor, bitterness, malice caused an atmosphere in your home kind of become stagnant? Always fuss, fight. How often do you fly off the handle, maybe with your coworker? Well, they had it coming. I tell you what, Brother Brad, you just don't know. They had it coming. We represent Christ. What about that driver that cuts you off? Or that clueless salesperson that can't help you, don't want to help you? They all in it. They're there to draw a check. You may be angry with them. Sin not. Jesus shows us that there's a time to be the lion. There's a time to be the lamb. He fiercely defended the house of God. He saw that spiritual wickedness and thieves coming in and taking advantage of the house of God. He fiercely defended it. And his anger, I'm going to tell you something, his anger was witnessed by all those around. He didn't just roll over. He didn't crumble under the pressure. He let them know, this can't be happening. You know, something like that ever happened, something at this church ever happened, someone come in to take advantage of your family, it's time to stand up and be the lion. And to be angry with it. But I tell you, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. He didn't argue that he was right. I want you to think about that just a minute. Let that sink in. Jesus was right. He was without sin. And he was being accused of being a sinner. He was being accused of blasphemy. And he didn't even raise a defense. That's hard for some of us to understand. But he was right. And if I'm right, surely I should be able to argue my point until I'm blue in the face. He was right, but he didn't open his mouth. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't argue. He didn't try to prove his point. Oh, if you be the Christ, why don't you save yourself and us? Well, things like that can make us mad. You ever been mad when somebody second guessed you? Ever been mad when you were right and you knew you were right and people accused you of being something you wasn't? He could have showed them, I'm right and I'm here to let the whole world know it. But he surrendered. He gave up. He let them crucify him. He said, well, that was in his plan. Sometimes, you know, it's okay to just be quiet. Sometimes it's okay just to take the log off the fire so that the fire will go out. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19 and 20 says there, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. So if you've done something wrong and somebody accuses you and you take that patiently, you really haven't done anything. But now, if you've done right, you've done nothing wrong and somebody comes along and tries to take advantage of you or mistreats you and you take that patiently, that's acceptable before God. God's glory requires us to give up those hollow victories many times. What good is being right if we burn the house down to do it? To show I'm right. Or to get across the point. What good is it if I had the right of way? Somebody cut me off up there in Hattiesburg. Boy, I lose my temper and I let go of it. Roll down the window and I curse at them. I was right and they were wrong. And so I'm going to let them know it. I'll tell you something. The glory of God's at stake. We represent Him. Our name is attached to His. If somebody asked me, Brother Alton, I am a Christian. I am Christ-like. I am a church member. I belong to Clear Branch Baptist Church. My Savior lives. I represent Him. I try to raise my children up. And you say, well, this is petty and it's kind of selfish. Maybe in the way it is, but I try to say, listen, y'all are O'Neills. Y'all represent the O'Neill name. And so I want you to remember that because you can make the O'Neill name look like mud if you want to. We represent Christ. God's glory requires us to give up on those hollow victories many times. You know, what good is being right if we cause Him to look bad? What good is hurting somebody if I had to close my eyes to Scripture in order to do it? Be ye angry, sin not. Resolve the issue quickly and according to Scripture. If a brother offend thee, go to him, you and him. And you resolve that quickly. I know sometimes it's not possible to live peaceably with everybody. The Bible says so. As much as lieth within you, live peaceably. What do we need to do tonight? I want to encourage you. Let's pray that God help us to have a peaceful spirit. And be renewed in the spirit of our mind. As a child of God, we need to see things differently than we once did. As a child of God, we need to see things differently than the world sees things. We have the mind of Christ. We need to use it. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Does that describe you tonight? A peaceful spirit? Does that describe you tonight? Whenever you get angry, you're not looking to be bitter. You're not trying to get wrath on someone. You're not over much anger. You're not clamoring. Malice not building up. You say, Brother Brad, I got a lot to work on. Brother Brad, I need to let some things go. I need to have a change in the spirit there. I need to have a change in my attitude. That word spirit, whenever we look at lowercase s, we're talking about our attitude, really, is what we're looking at. Our attitude. Are we allowing our attitude to be that like Christ would be pleased with? We need to, because we represent Him. We ask for something.